This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jack Denley and Craig Pope from Patina. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. How are you
doing? Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Last week we had you on the show and you guys were just giving a quick overview of Patina, and we talked quite a bit about kegs. Wine in kegs and your plastic keg, single serve, not single serve, that's a hell of a serve, isn't it? Single use plastic kegs. And one of the things you mentioned last week was you talked about the German market with the reuse of bottles where you just keep using it. Which, and let's face it, when you got the three R's, isn't it? Reduce, reuse and recycle, of which recycle is the lowest quality solution. It's better to reduce it and not use it in the first place. Then if you have to make it, reuse it as much as you can, and then finally recycle. Whereas a lot of the sort of single uses just use once, recycle. So I'm quite keen to explore this. But before we get into that, I didn't really get much information about both of you guys, Craig and Jack. So Jack, do you want to just give us a quick overview of yourself and just how you got into the industry and where you're at?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Jack. I'm the marketing manager at Patina. Haven't always been in plastics. I started off in the wine industry, working for Majestic Wine. Then I moved into luxury spirits and sort of brand management. And then during the COVID years, I worked for a pub company. So you can imagine that was a nice stressful time when none of the pubs were open. And then moved into the world of plastics about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Craig, the European Commercial Director. I've been with Patina for over 8 years now. Born into the packaging industry. I'm third generation of what I do. I used to follow my father around the factory in Australia. And at the age of 26, I decided to take a punt, explore the world, and enjoy new experiences. Stayed in the industry, worked across a range of companies offering different formats. So from Mondi, one of the leading pulp and paper producers, Visy in Australia, again, one of the largest privately owned groups. Globally, selling every single packaging format you can imagine. So a lot of really good experience there. And now with Patina. So, always been in packaging. It's in the blood. And, I really enjoy offering, finding solutions for customers. That's what makes me tick.
Yeah, the problem you've got at the moment is obviously, on the one hand, plastic's a great solution for carbon, but it's plastic, and poor old David Attenborough, he's really put the boot in a fair into your nuts, really, a little bit, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, he has. However, the markets that we operate in, we sort of call it the Nordic German filter, so manufacturing centre in the Nordics, just above Gothenburg, servicing Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, very high recycling collection rates, around 90% on average, and higher in some cases. And that flows down, from Belgium down into Germany, again, above that 90% rate. And, DRS systems are prevalent. Packaging with deposits play a very key role in encouraging, the return of packaging, be it single-use, be it reusable, be it glass, be it cans. I think, markets are a bit slow to implement the same type of system. And obviously it's very costly, but it's necessary. It needs to happen. But PET, it's light, it's fast, it's cheap. You can brand it, you can do whatever you want with it. And it's got a lot of appeals. Plastic is fantastic until David Attenborough and the rest were showing images of plastic bottles in the sea and everything else. And that is a real issue, especially in developing countries. But where you've got good, long-established systems, these countries really understand the value of it and promote it.
Okay, well, let's talk about reuse in Germany. I've never really thought of Germany being reusing bottles, but I know historically France used to have a big thing where you just head down to the local winery or the local shop, take your bottle and you get it filled up. I remember my papa, my granddad, he used to get flagons of beer filled up locally as well and things like that. So it used to be a very common process. And then even in France, it started to sort of drop away a little bit. And now you've got companies, there's a company in Borough Market who do reuse bottles. You know, you can go and bring your wine bottle in there and they'll fill it up and send you on your way with a bottle of wine. But I've never really thought of Germany as one of these, but it sounds like it too has had a tradition of that. Do you want to just run us through the sort of the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years of the German market in terms of their experience with reuse? You know, where do they start from? Recent history.
Yeah, I think every time I have this conversation, everyone's always a little bit surprised at the scale of reuse in Germany. However, I think at the market right now between glass and refillable PET, it's around 45%. German government is targeting 70%. And you have different packaging formats that play a role within that. Now, the market I'm talking about is predominantly mineral water, carbonated soft drinks, beer. There's a very large market for glass bottles and beer, and of course wine. But just coming back to our world, we supply a refillable PET bottle that can be reused up to 15 to 20 times. It's filled alongside glass bottles, with filling rates anything up to 30,000 bottles an hour, and special inherent design features so that it can perform time and time again. So, the weight obviously has a key impact to the number of trips to survive different conditions, be it hot, be it cold. Sometimes the bottles vacuum, lose their shape, can't be used. But just to give you a bit of an idea of the scale of the market, I'd say our bottles would serve around 4 billion fills in the German market.
Per year?
4
billion.
It's huge. We would take out, I'd say, 100,000 tonnes of single-use plastics waste for the number of fills that our bottles fulfil in that market. And we look at the number of trips, the weight of the bottle, call it 2 or 3 grams per trip is used versus a single use of, say, 30 grams for a 1 litre bottle. So that's where you get a 90% reduction in plastics waste. Now, the way the bottles move around this market, they're put inside crates. They have a deposit attached to them. They're sold at the retailer, consumed, returned to the deposit return scheme. And then those bottles are transported back out to the brands where they're sorted amongst other brands' beverage packaging, washed, inspected, and reused again.
My understanding of what happened or has happened in France is that you just turned up and they just filled up your bottle, and then you went home with your bottle full of things. So it's not that It's not that. It's like the old milk bottles, isn't it? Where the milkman would come and collect the hopefully the bottles you've washed, but then they'd go back, get cleaned, and then get reused. And then effectively, when it turns up, you're not even sure if it's a reused bottle or not. It's just a bottle.
Yes, there are a few different reuse models. So the one in Germany is the most common one, which is return to retail. So you literally take your bottle back, and then there's a big reverse vending machine, they call it. So you literally put your bottle back into a vending machine, and then you get your deposit back and you redeem that in store.
And the vending machine doesn't crush it?
There's different types. They'll either crush it, or they'll shred it straight as it goes in, or they'll just collect the bottles whole. But normally, because it's for the reusable ones, you want to have them whole, so they'll just bring them in and then just collect them in the back end. Then you've also got sort of doorstep collection models that will work a lot more with sort of online purchases, or you've got the model you were talking about where you literally take the bottle back, fill it up with more hand soap or soft drink or whatever you're buying that day. But German models predominantly return to retail, because most customers are going to do all their shopping in a big supermarket anyway, so you want to be able to do everything in one shop. So you take your bottles back, and they're very proud of bringing crates after crates of bottles and getting there. I've got £5 off my shop because I brought that many bottles back and I've received that deposit back. So
okay,
they're very proud of the system over there.
Like the classic old deposit return scheme we used to get in New Zealand or whatever, where the bottle, who knows what used to happen to the bottles after you returned them, but you used to get your 4p 4 cents back. Yeah. Which used to fund my holidays yeah. when I was a young lad. You needed 4 bottles and you got a popsicle. It's like, hey. Happy days. Okay, so in Germany they get the bottle and they re-clean it. What about the labelling and all that sort of stuff? Do you find after 15 trips back the labels like 4 inches thick and yes.
Well, so when they go into the washing, they have the label stripped off.
That's pretty good going, because getting those labels off can be a real pain.
Exactly. Exactly. So they go in a big bath and they sort of soak and then the labels fall away. And then you rinse it with a caustic solution and then it's good to go again. But what you will notice is every time you go through the system, you get a little bit of scuffing and stuff like that. So that's expected. But you'll see in Germany, you know, they don't mind a little bit of scuffing on the shelf because they know the bottle's been reused.
Yeah.
So it's almost a bit of a mark of, you know, I'm doing my part for the environment. So it's not just a brand I love. It's also a bottle that I know has been used 15 times. Therefore, I actually feel even better for making that purchase, which is good.
And you said the wines are bottled in Germany. Are they bottled in Germany with German wines, or do they use international wines coming in, or what's the story?
So reuse for wine isn't something that is sort of possible at the moment for PET bottles.
Isn't or is?
Is not.
And, oh, okay, so this is a wine thing. This is just for...
This is for soft drinks and mineral water. It's something that we're sort of looking potentially we can do, but the way, obviously, with soft drinks, most people were putting them in the glass. It was an easy switch for PET. For wine, there's not a lot of wine reuse globally anyway, so there's not as big a market for switching.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, I think heavy glass bottles serve that purpose very well. PET also has barriers added to it to provide a shelf life. The challenge with washing PET bottles is the impact of that barrier. But it's technically possible. Patina actually manufactured a beer bottle for Carlsberg many moons ago. I think it was originally designed for Wembley Stadium. And it was a special barrier, perhaps called PEN, worked very effectively in the market, 4 or 5 year period. So if you can have a dedicated barrier within a PET bottle with heavier wall thickness, it is technically possible. And at the moment, we only really hear demand for that for festivals and events and those that really have sustainability at the forefront. But I think on a sort of mass market perspective, I think glass plays that role, if I'm honest.
Just so I understand, so in Germany, this wine is reused, but they use glass bottles, and you guys are plastic manufacturers, so you're like, I'm not really that keen on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a technical challenge for PET, because for us, we would put a barrier in to protect against the oxygen.
Mm.
And when it's being washed, there's a chance that barrier gets sort of reduced over time.
Yeah.
So it's something that it's a more of a something we'll need to overcome to make it possible.
I thought the fancy PET bottles that had that it was like a plastic layer, which is no barrier to oxygen. You had some ascorbic acid, vitamin C as an oxygen scavenger, and then another plastic layer that wedged between the two. Yeah, is that how it works? Or?
Yeah, correct. Or there's different. You can have a mono layer as well, where the scavenger is blended into the resin.
Okay.
Less effective than the dedicated barrier that you just described. I just want to make a quick point. I think any reuse model is positive, and we're pro reuse. We make single use products, but we do that with high recycled content. We're one of the leaders in the industry in terms of the proportion of recycled material we use, and we're pro reusable. And with the potential legislation changes coming up over the next 5-10 years. There's a lot of talk about reusable solutions, and we think RefPET, what we call, is going to play a key role in the packaging mix, and it requires a very expensive infrastructure to support that. Yes, there's a big reduction in plastics waste. However, you're adding trucks to the road because you're transporting bottles.
Mm.
So there's a trade-off. They need to be transported by crates. But the advantage of the model is at the end of life, when those products are returned back to the brand owner, be it PET, be it glass, they have value. So if they've decided that, okay, there's a bit too much scuffing on this, I don't want to put it out onto the retail shelf, this glass bottle's broken, they will recycle the materials, which in the current market have a very high value, and they have a closed-loop model, so they can send that off to a recycling facility, which gets redirected back to a companies like ours or a glass manufacturer to incorporate that recycled material back into new packaging. So yeah. I think it's the greenest packaging model in the world to have products that can do 15, 20 reuses. We talked about the amount of plastics waste that saves, and also it would be the same for glass. But then also the value of that commodity end of life contributing to the circularity It is really a special model, and that's something we support as a business. We're able to process that material and put 30% recycled content, for example, back into the product. So looking at the carbon footprint of that, it's better than any other plastic format that we see on the market.
Okay, you mentioned deposit return schemes a couple of times. You've mentioned it for the Nordic market. Obviously, the UK doesn't have a deposit return scheme. The Scottish people have been trying to get one, but the government just doesn't seem to be able to organise themselves enough to get that sorted. And also, they wanted to do a scheme that involved glass, whereas the UK government scheme was going to be aluminium and plastic, but not glass, because glass either was I'm not sure whether it was because glass was so low value or whether it was because of the weight and the issues associated with transportation and managing glass. I'm not quite sure why the government said it was technically difficult, but you look at glass as a deposit return schemes all over the world and you go, you can't solve it, but everybody else can. So that's fine. You're saying it's too hard. That just tells us a little bit about your abilities more than the difficulty of the product problem. Deposit return schemes, how do you think that's going to change the UK market? Because they will come in, a deposit return scheme, and certainly for plastic and aluminium. How do you think that will change the UK market, given that you've seen deposit return schemes in a number of other markets around the world?
Yeah, so there is EU legislation. I mean, obviously we're not in the EU, but by 2029, all European member states will have to have a deposit return system in place. So it's coming down the tracks, it's coming down fast, and Scotland are a little bit ahead of us, but they are, you know, the UK government is working on a solution as well. So hopefully the amount of people who are used to working within a deposit return system as consumers is going to go from 300 million to 800 million. And I think that's going to really change the landscape on how people interact with packaging. So the way we see is it changes your packaging from waste to a resource. So, you know, you're going to see a lot less littering. So in Germany, the collection rate is up to sort of 90%. So people just don't litter anymore because they know their plastic's got a value and they want to get their deposit back.
And if they did litter, someone will come along and get five of them and get a free popsicle.
Exactly.
you do see it at the airport, actually, a lot.
Apart from popsicle sales going up, it's also going to make our oceans and our streets cleaner, which we think is absolutely brilliant. And as you know, we obviously, as plastic manufacturers, see plastic as a great resource.
Yeah.
So the more, you know, we try and communicate that to end users, and living in a world where DRS is so common, everyone's going to start seeing that, and that's only going to be a good thing.
Yeah, but and there needs to be alignment. You're going to have packaging that's going to travel across borders, and you want it to be recycled. So I think there needs to be dialogue between the two and alignment to encourage as much recycling as possible. And you know, we've just completed a really exciting project actually with one of the biggest beverage brands in the world. I'll call it the Red Label. I think all the listeners will be able to figure out who that is. But
Red
we have,
label.
Yeah,
it,
with a black soda. But look, they've just relaunched the reusable 1 liter format in Germany, and it's called the Universal Bottle, and it's designed to travel across borders in Europe because it does happen. But they have a very well established format there that performs and is going to reduce plastics waste and improve the carbon footprint, and in line with the legislation, we'll start to see that make a comeback. And we might be down at the corner shop buying popsicles and sodas again soon. Good time for it. The weather's quite nice right now.
The rest of Europe's going to DRS. Britain was going down that route before they left Brexit, and Scotland's still doing it, but I haven't really seen anything from the UK government. The Scottish government's been announcing plans about when they're going to do it, and then they've announced plans about when they've delayed it to the next time, and then they'll announce plans of how they've delayed it to the next time. So it's going down that route. But you never hear anything as a consumer, and I follow this, from the UK government, other than we're working on it. Mm-hmm. What are the time frame in the UK? Have you seen any time frames?
So at the moment they're going through sort of the early stages of drafting it and getting sort of input from people in the trade like us. So we've been sort of on some of the calls with the people looking into it. And at the moment, it is a very sort of slow process. But I think it's sort of something that they're hoping by 2025, they'll sort of definitely have something in place. And there's also a question of whether, now that Scotland are a bit further down the line, whether they try and synergise that a little bit more, which would make sense, obviously. Mm. But no, I mean, a hard and fast timeline is not there currently.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There's no... And the thing about it is it's a big moneymaker for the government, or whoever is the person who receives the deposits. They get 100% of the deposits and they only pay out 80%, 70%, whatever the redemption rate is, they keep the rest. So it is a very good income stream. So it's like, why aren't you... The Scottish government are all over it because they're desperate for the cash. You think the UK government would be all over it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we want.
Could be standoff with some of the brands as well, who maybe see that deposit value as a tax and showing well, that value is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
We've seen... a lot of changes in the market in the last few years. A lot of brands heavily focus on introducing 100% rPET, making commitments to...
rPET's recycled PET.
Recycled PET. We've got really strong heritage in that, over 15 years experience, particularly in the Nordics. But the market has really accelerated with these brand commitments. And, if the Nordics is achieving, say, a 90% collection rate, the yield loss from that material can be anywhere around 15-20%. So the recycling firm is left with 70% material to then sell to the market. So it's not perfectly balanced, and it doesn't support all these commitments to go to 100%. These markets do require some virgin material coming back into the system, keeps the right properties of the material, IV and colour values as well. And, you look at Norway right now, they've now changed the material blends for, beverage applications to an 80-20, 80% recycled, 20% virgin for longevity and to promote, circularity. So, it's changing. And then we have the 25% by 2025. 25%
recycled
in the UK in the single-use plastics directive. Mm-hmm. It's not far away. And the market this year, we've all been hit by very high cost increases, cost of energy, and some of the brands have looked at their material strategy and traded off a bit on recycled material to offset those rising cost increases, but they'll be coming back really hard, I suspect, by the end of this year as that 2025 deadline comes in. So we need more volume of material coming into the market, more investment. But fortunately for the markets we operate in, we've got really good access to those materials because of the high collection rates.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be a very interesting space.
So it does sound that the key thing you need for an environmentally friendly plastic bottle is deposit return scheme. So you get your recycled material and it becomes more closed loop. And the Dave and Attenboroughs can't complain if the plastic isn't being put into the ocean and it's being put back into reuse, then it's not necessarily a problem. Because that is the problem with plastic, is the waste stream.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with all packaging formats, really, is that when you put your waste into either recycling stream or a waste stream, you want to know it's been dealt with properly. So in the plastic world, it's just more of a visible thing that you see plastic in the oceans, but say it's glass, we know that a huge amount of glass doesn't get recycled, ends up in landfill, but you just don't hear about it as much. Mm. So I think it's more of an issue with the system set up after you put your waste in a bin that needs addressing. So that's why we always reference the Nordics, because they've got that system right. And you've got confidence if you put your plastic in a recycling stream, it will get recycled. Versus in the UK, where you're not quite sure where it's going to go. But we know that if you do it right with glass, if you do it right with the plastic, then everyone's happy, and that's what we want.
Yeah, PET it doesn't require as much energy to produce as compared to other packaging formats.
We're going to look at that next week because I want to look at this PET bottle of yours that. It's a single-use PET bottle, but I want to look at the benefits of PET versus glass, because there are some, apart from the plastic waste, and if we get our DRS, deposit return scheme, sorted. could be quite good.
Yeah. If I could just add one last thing.
Yep.
So obviously EU legislation coming down the track. Reuse quotas are going to come in by 2030. Wine will be included in that. It's going to be at least 5% reusable packaging by 2030. So if anyone wants to talk about reusable plastic with us, we're more than welcome to.
Fair enough, mate. All right. We'll talk to you next week about these PET bottles in a bit of detail.
Thanks.